on the internet.
Yeah.
I'll explain my situation to you in a minute. Anyway, he said, I have a flat tire. And evidently on these new fancy cars, you get a good price if you don't get a spare. So I guess he's out there with Potty, laying hands on the tire and praying. Finally, God says, what do you think I gave you the CAA for? Anyway, he phoned and asked if I could help him out, and I've told him, whenever he's away like this in the winter, if any of the speakers can't make it because of weather, I'm the guy you're going to have to listen to. So it'd be nice if maybe. So anyway, I'm not, for those watching, I'm Paul Percy, and I go to this church, and the pastor was supposed to be here, but he had some car issues and was not able to make it. So I am here, and well, hope you're happy. Now, I should mention to the congregation that it wasn't mentioned. We have the meal today, the Bring and Share. Yeah, so it's there. I've been looking at it. And so just keep that in your mind, that when I'm done, you get to eat. So, you know, work with me on this. You know, Christmas is really something, isn't it? I mean, I grew up in Africa. I tell you that. Some of you don't believe me, but yeah, I was born in Kano, Nigeria. Anyway, Christmas for us back then was very different. My parents would wonder if any gifts would make it from Canada, you know, to where they were near the Sahara Desert. And one gift came. It was a gorgeous, like a big plastic truck, and it was one of those ones that half the parts are missing. And so we learned to live with that. My dad would make us, he made us, my brother and I, some nice looking rifles. And they didn't work, they're just wood, but scared enough people. But it was interesting. We didn't have a Christmas tree, so that saved that issue. And we didn't have to worry about snow or anything of that nature, so that was good. And we really didn't have a turkey dinner either. I can't even remember what we had. But the one thing I do remember is being outside with my mom and dad, my brother, and with the African Christians. Now that hurts today because over 100,000 Christians have been martyred in Nigeria in the last couple of years by Boko Haram. And we went to eat peanut brittle. That was Christmas peanut brittle, which is probably why my teeth are so rotten now, but we ate peanut brittle and we sang carols, and that was Christmas. So then I get transferred to Canada. I have a wonderful family, but now we're busy with stupid Christmas. Come on, let's be honest. You can act all religious as you want, but come on, it's a pain. Now, the only good thing about today with Christmas is you don't have to go to the shopping mall. Isn't that right? Thank God for Amazon. Although, I've been waiting for I ordered my son a gift, and I thought, you know what, I'm tired of trying to get these things from China, because, you know, sometimes they have the issues. And so I ordered it from Concord, Ontario. I checked it on my GPS, 2 hours. So a nice gift. I ordered it back on December the 2nd or 3rd. And I'm still waiting for the stupid thing. Now, I have been told it's an Owen Sound, which doesn't mean a thing. And I've got a little code that I can push in, and tells me the same thing. It'll be there before 10 o'clock tonight. They've been saying that for the last 2 weeks. So it is, you know, Christmas is really something, isn't it? And sometimes we just don't really have the joy that we would like to have because we are so busy. And if you're having if it's your turn to host the family, now if you want to avoid with the family coming to your house, buy a small house. They won't come, I tell you right now. Works every time. You know, those relatives who have the big house, they can hold all 40 people, no problem. It's there. But Christmas, it can, with all the busyness and all the things, and then of course there's the cost of, you know, well, I have to buy them. My little Johnny wants this, or, you know, little Tiffany wants that, and of course it's $189, you know, and not $1.89, and it's, you know, it's a Christmas special, and we're half going bankrupt trying to buy nice, you know, gifts for our kids, because that's what makes them happy. And the question we have to ask is then, what is the real joy of Christmas? What's the real joy? We can say, well, it's getting my new Nintendo or Switch, or, you know, I can't even keep up now. I have a grandson who's 8, and he keeps talking about all these things, and I just keep blocking him out. But, it really gets quite different now to even when I was, you know, even growing up in Canada for, you know, since I was 10. So what is the real issue here? What is the, what brings the real joy to us at Christmas time? Where can we sit? Where can we just kind of sit back and just talk to ourselves and say, you know what? I'm really feeling it today. I'm really feeling, you know, Christmas joy. Because when you go back to, you know, the birth of Jesus, you begin to realize that you know, things were very different then too. I mean, Mary and Joseph, you know, she had to ride a donkey while she was pregnant. Now, a lot of women, when they're pregnant, won't even ride in some cars. So you can imagine, and have any of you ever been to Bethlehem? Well, it is, I had the privilege of going, and if you want to get really impressed, it was a free trip for pastors. But anyway, this is why I went into the ministry, these free trips. But when you go into Bethlehem now, it's in Arab territory. And so the bus you're in, which is Jewish, at least the license plate, it has to stop, and it happens to stop at this big tourist store. And then we change buses and get on an Arab bus to go to see where the baby Jesus was born. It takes away a lot of the joy. You know, really, it really does. But you can get good souvenirs. But the point is, you know, again, where's the joy in all of this? Where's the joy? You know, God wants to give us joy. And happiness and joy are not the same thing. You can be happiness and not joyful. But joyfulness is what God gives to us. The psalmist tells us, you fill me with joy in Psalm 16. So what is this angel's message that is given to us and recorded in Luke chapter 2 about we bring you a message of great joy? What is it that they're giving to us? What's the message? Well, the first thing we know is that it targets the most common denominator. Kind of the low of the low. I mean, you got Mary and Joseph, who really were simple people. And they go, and they have to have their baby in a barn. Now, I don't know what your barns are like. Well, I know that Keith Elder, his barn is nice and clean. But, you know, but I mean, really, they're born there, and where's the joy in that? But that's where they were. And the angels came, and the angels sang, and then the shepherds. Shepherds, I mean, you know, if your daughter was going out with a shepherd, you would disown her. I'm sorry, man. I was misquoted on that. Oh man, hold on, I've got to change my notes here. Don't do that one again. Okay. But they were the low of the low. I mean, they've improved since they went to university. But you know, I mean, they were just lowly shepherds. And yet there they were, you know, staring at the baby Jesus, the first ones to arrive. Now, the others, you know, the wise men came a little later with their gifts of money, and that's probably where some merchant thought of the idea of giving gifts, I guess, and using that as the biblical basis for giving gifts. But, you know, it's the lowest common denominator. I mean, Mary and Joseph, we're not Will and Kate or some other celebrity couple, like Beyonce. You know, that's not who they were. It wasn't Balmoral Castle or Westminster Abbey. They're in Bethlehem. We're not seeing the rich and the famous, we're just seeing shepherds. Anyway, it wasn't a private room. I mean, nowadays, if you have a baby, you go into a birthing room. Now, am I right there? I've never given birth. Yeah, you get a birthing room. And I talked to somebody just this week who's just given birth, and she said, oh yeah, it's really nice. And we know when he was first born, there were only two babies in this thing, and there are enough nurses for five. Wow. That's pretty decent. I mean, when I was born, we won't talk about that. But, you know, but the thing is that it was, you know, it wasn't what we expect. It was for people who were the lowest common denominator. And it was also a message, though, that God wanted everybody to hear, this joy. You know, God wants everybody to hear the message of joy that the angels were bringing, because it's a message that gives peace. You know, something we're all looking for, peace. You know, one first century pagan writer says this: while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passions, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more for than outward peace. You know, I mean, we can talk about who do you want to be prime minister, who do you want to be president. You can have your, you know, your favorites. But the problem is, I don't care who they are, they're not going to bring us peace of heart, peace of mind. They're not going to bring us true joy that God wants us to have. And that's what we have to, at Christmas time especially, it needs to be a time that reminds us that this joyful message gives peace. It also, it's a message that deals with our fears. You know, we live in fear. You know, people are afraid to, in some parts of our own country, and even in some parts of America and other countries, they're afraid to go out at night. They don't trust their neighbors. They live in fear of losing their jobs, you know, of getting sick. You know, we've been told that we've been protecting ourselves too much. But in some situations, people fear for their lives. Others have fears about feeding their family, paying their bills. We live in fear. And so this joyful message is a message that deals with our fears. But the big thing is that it's a message about a Savior. It's a message about a Savior, one who could change things. He would bring peace into our hearts. He would take away the fears of those who accept him. It didn't matter what plans Herod had, concerning, and then what he was concocting, but it didn't matter what Rome was even thinking. A Savior was born. A deliverer had arrived. He was the Messiah. And that should bring us the tremendous joy that only God can give to us. And we also know pages stick together. There we go. That when he does come, if we know him, our names are going to be called. I think children today love getting things addressed to them. They love a personal note. And this wonderful message actually comes and it has your name on it. Don't you love when your name's called? Unless you're in court, that's a little different, but do you remember The Price is Right? Remember people would dress up all stupid, And then, they'd yell out, Gladys, happy bottom, get on down here. You're the next contestant. And she makes an idiot of herself, and she comes and she's. Or have you ever watched the draft in sports? Ronnie, wouldn't you wish when you were doing hockey, you would be drafted, and there you'd be at the Maple Leaf Gardens? They'd say, the Chicago Blackhawks. Draft. Ronnie McGuire. Yay! We'd all get all happy, okay? And if he was going to church then, his pastor would be delighted. Now, you know why he'd be delighted, don't you? Okay. 1/10. So we love getting our names called. We love hearing it. I've had my name called, in places. I'm looking at who called me and who knows me here. I used to do a little cross country 10K stuff, and one day I was running in Stouffville, and I'm trying to justify quitting, and all of a sudden I hear a voice, and I kind of recognize the voice, but it was like, Paul Percy, keep running. Okay, And I found out who it was later, but I haven't seen her in years. But she recognized, when your name gets called, that's really quite something, isn't it? So the big picture for us then, as we start to go through the Christmas season now, and we're still rushing around trying to figure out gifts and checking your status as to where your gift is. And of course there's the meal, we have to put on the meal if it's your turn. So there's the turkey and who likes what. But where's the joy? And that's the thing that we want to get across. That you will never experience the Christmas joy until you personally receive God's great gift, the Lord Jesus. if you want to really experience joy, you see, the reason why the Africans could sing so beautifully and with such joy is because they knew Jesus. It wasn't anything about gifts. It wasn't anything about a big meal or a feast. They were there sitting, we were eating peanut brittle. And they were joyful. What made the joy? They knew Jesus. One German philosopher said, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, then you've got to look a lot like the redeemed. If you want people to see something about you that they would want, they would like, then you've got to live like a person who is a child of God. And you can do that in many different ways. You know, I found it interesting when we were growing up in Scarborough, and across the street was a man. He was an accountant, and I guess he must have gotten friendly with my folks. But his wife had passed away. But anyway, one day he came over to my dad, and he said, Harry, I want to know what you and your family have. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, there's something about your family that's very different. Now, I know my family, and I don't know what he was seeing. There's something different, Harry, about your family. So the big question maybe you have this Christmas when you're with, you know, all your friends and of course relatives, is you've got to be part of the redeemed. You have to know the Redeemer to be redeemed. If you want the real joy of Christmas, you've got to know the Savior. And the final thing I want to just tell you really quick is that if you really want to show the joy of Christmas, you've got to be willing to tell others about it. You've got to be willing to show others about it. And it can be done in many different ways. Whether when you're with the family, you know, usually when families get together, there's one person who's either very religious or semi-religious. They have to say grace. And if you're asked to say grace, make it a good grace. And I mean that, you know, I mean that sincerely. Make it a good grace. Give them something to think about. Or maybe you can show, to your neighbors some grace, some love that comes from Christ. We ourselves in the past have invited, we invited one family from from our church over for Christmas dinner. Now, they weren't destitute. In fact, he was the deputy warden of Warkworth Penitentiary. And I just thought, if things went bad for me, I need to know somebody on the inn. But we also invited two girls who were part of, were they with ARC Industry? Yeah, ARC Industry. So that they had some mental handicaps. And we invited them. It was quite an interesting dinner. But, you know, when people see you doing that, then they understand what joy is. So this Christmas, everybody, I hope you really have a joyful Christmas. If you want to know if I got my package or not, we're hoping to be here for the Christmas Eve service. Now, Janice and I have to go to Hamilton tomorrow because she's having surgery on her other eye on Tuesday. So if she does everything right, hopefully we'll be able to come home with my daughter Tuesday night, and then we'll be here for the service. Then I can tell you how everything is going. Listen, have a great Christmas. And Pastor, he's not going to see this till next week. And he will be in Florida then. So, forget it. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you together giving your son have shown us what true joy is all about. It's not for the rich and the famous. It's also for those who are poor and in need. It's for all of us, Father, and your son, who can become our Savior, can give us the real joy that the world and all that it offers can never give to us. That's the joy of knowing you. So, Father, bless our time. Father, as we gather for the meal, we always have a good time, so we're not even going to ask you for it. But, Lord, I just pray that you will bless this food to us. Thank you for its provision, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.